which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is righteous, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts draw us closer to one another and closer to you. Amen. So how many of you have the tradition that my family has on Thanksgiving of, before we dive into the meal, saying something we're thankful for? You got that tradition in your family? Well, good news. This morning, I'm going to give you all a head start on that. I want to take a moment, just a moment, for you to center yourself and to think of something in your life you're grateful for. It could be anything, something simple, something profound. Think of something you're grateful for. And now, if you're brave, and I apologize to the introverts among us because I know we've already stretched ourselves about as far as we can with the passing of the peace, but if you're brave, I invite you to find someone you did not come to church with and share that thing with them. I'll give you just a couple minutes, and then I'll call us back. Go ahead and do that. Let's see how we do. Okay, I'm going to kind of call us back together again. Thank you for that. And now I want you to notice, just kind of notice how you feel. Because research suggests that expressing gratitude produces dopamine and releases serotonin. And those chemicals are mood and energy enhancers. I know I feel a little more energized. Those chemicals provide strength for our journey. I've even heard it said, maybe you have too, that gratitude is a superpower. About 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul said it in a slightly different way. Give thanks, no peace. A peace that passes understanding. And our text this morning comes at the end of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Paul wrote it from a prison cell. And in our canon, it's probably the last of Paul's authentic letters. The first of his authentic letters was written to the church at Thessalonica. It's 1 Thessalonians. And it's basically an extended thank you letter to that church. Now, 2 years later, Paul is in jail in Rome, and he's still saying thank you. At the beginning, at the height of joy, and in the depths of despair, Paul is still saying thank you. You know, he was in prison for resisting Rome, the power of his time, the political power of his time. The insistence of Rome was that Caesar was Lord, and it was to the structure of empire that one owed allegiance. When Paul proclaimed, not Caesar, but Jesus is Lord, not empire, but kingdom is my allegiance, he was refusing to make the powers of his time the arbitrator and measure of his life. You know, Nero was coming into power about this time, and maybe it hurt Nero's fragile feelings to be told he wasn't the greatest ever. It certainly threatened the empire when folks gave allegiance to a different kind of kingdom. So Paul's in jail. But the letter does not begin with a rant against empire. It does not begin with despair. The letter Paul writes to this community begins and ends in gratitude. These are his opening words. I thank God for every remembrance of you, always, in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for our partnership from the first day until now. Paul's gratitude is his resistance. I'm not sure how many of you are liturgically minded. I know there are some of you among us. But this Sunday is not only Thanksgiving Sunday. It also marks the end of the church year. And next Sunday, the cycle begins again with the first Sunday in Advent. But this Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, is often called Christ the King Sunday. Through the cycle of the year, we walk through the birth, the baptism, the life and teaching of Jesus, then Holy Week, remembering Jesus' death, and Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. But that's not the end. That's kind of the middle of the year, right? Because then in the season after Easter, we get Pentecost, the birth of the church, and then we move into what's called ordinary time. Ordinary time, that long stretch between Easter and now, where we are invited to practice what it means to be followers of Jesus. We practice and we practice through all the ordinary times of our lives. And what we're doing is developing gratitude tendencies. Then we come to this last Sunday of the church year, which is today. Through all the ordinary times in our lives when we've wondered, does our discipleship make a difference? When Paul in jail is wondering, does my following of Jesus make a difference? We are moving toward this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. That's what we traditionally call it, but I'll simply say this. This is the Sunday we are reminded that love wins. We live in a time that's characterized by uncertainty, a lot of grief. I know that. This community has been through that. You individually may be living with that. And we can be pretty certain that someone, somewhere, or maybe some group of someone's has a vested interest in our division, in our distraction, in our despair. In its simplest form, that's what drives us to overconsumption. So we're always told, you are not enough, you do not have enough, there is not enough. In its more devious form, it's what paralyzes and controls us, trying to convince us there's nothing we can do to counter the meanness and destruction we see around us. But on this Sunday, when the bad news around us is unrelenting and we're discouraged or frustrated or angry, Paul is inviting us into a different space. It's the space of resistance. You've already sung about it. Now Thank We All Our God was a hymn that was written not at the height of joy, but in the middle of the 30 years war. We sang, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, knowing and then naming how much we have been blessed. Our faith gives us a way to respond to the world we see around us, and it's the path of gratitude, of generosity, of grace. In a world that wants you to grumble and grovel and hate, Paul says, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever is pure, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. That is not blind optimism. It's knowing what is and paying attention to what is most important. It's revolutionary gratitude. I refuse to let you set up house in my mind rent free. I will dwell on what is just, on what is kind, on what is excellent, on what is worthy of praise, on the care that God has given me from my birth until now and beyond. There's a Benedictine brother, David Stendhal Rast, who you may have heard of. His TED Talk on gratitude is the most listened to TED Talk on gratitude that's out there. So maybe you have already heard it, but I want to quote from him. He's now, I think, 96 or 97. And in his TED Talk on gratitude, he says this. Listen to this. If you're grateful, you're not fearful. And if you're not fearful, you're not violent. If you're grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not a sense of scarcity. And you're willing to share. If you're grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people. And you are respectful of everybody. And then he says, this changes the power pyramid under which we live. You know, that power pyramid that wants you to be grateful that somehow you have this little slice of pie while they have the whole rest of the pie. That's not the kind of gratitude we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of gratitude that recognizes that God's grace is here now with us and with everyone. That God's gift of blessing is abundant. It's a grace that gathers around a table and says, everyone is welcome here. Y'all realize how radical that is? You know, when the early church was invited to the table, they were laying this table up against the empire table that said, one person is at the head, the next most powerful people are close by, a few more people might be out there, and the rest of you, the door is closed. This church says, that door is open. This table is open. And everyone is welcome here. Religion scholar Diana Butler Bass wrote a book called Grateful. And I looked at, you know, I like her writing, so I looked it up in my library, and it's interesting. It's interesting. It's listed under two titles. And the first title is Grateful, the Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. But the other title, and I got to talk to the librarian about why they listed both books. The other title is Grateful, the Subversive Power of Giving Thanks. Yeah. So Diana Butler Bass, in November of 2016, late November of 2016, preparing for Thanksgiving and wondering what on earth she would say, wrote this prayer. And I found it so moving. So I offer it to you. God, this Thanksgiving, we do not give thanks, we choose it. We will make this choice of thanks with courage, knowing it is humbling to say thank you. We choose to open ourselves to your generosity, aware that we live in an unending circle of gratitude. We are all guests at your table, around which gifts are passed and received. We will not let anything opposed to love take over this table. Instead of giving in to fear, we embrace grace. In this choosing, in the sharing of this meal, we are strengthened to pass gratitude on to the world. Thus, with you, with all those gathered here at this table, with those at tables far distance, we pledge to make thanks, and we ask you to strengthen us in this resolve. Here, now, and into the future, around our family table, around the table of our nation, around the table of the earth, we choose to give thanks. In this simple form, she suggests, gratitude is a practice that fights against the systems that have held humanity and us in their thrall. If you want to proclaim Christ as King on this Christ the King Sunday, if you want to claim your superpower, if you want to work for and welcome the kingdom of God, just say thanks. And maybe when you introduce your moment of thanks this Thursday, you can start by saying, this is what we are doing. We are claiming the transformative, subversive power of thanksgiving, no matter what else is around us. Amen.